there they didn't see me, but I was hiding behind the bushes and I observed the discussions, and some were actually very Krishna conscious. I was very nice. I mean, I was not really like hiding. You don't have to be afraid of me. I'm not. But I was just passing and hearing it. I'm very grateful that we are all together on this journey, and tomorrow we will come to a very important station. And I will already announce this evening, because when you do such a thing, it's good if you are aware about what you're going to do the next morning in the evening before you go to sleep. Then you get it works in your mind in the night, and then you get extra strength. I will now attempt to speak something which is very exalted, very high, and it can only be discussed really amongst devotees, but I need your blessings. My words are like a cow which wants to reach Vrindavan Dham, the land of Krishna. But alas, this tongue of mine is like a desert. How will the cow of my words cross this desert and go to Vrindavan? There's only one hope, that all of you who are advanced Vaishnavas and transcendentalists bless and give your well wishes, then only we can enter into such a subject matter as the divine fragrance of Krishna. Many great souls in this world have actually at times become ecstatic upon perceiving the fragrance of the Lord, which has put their whole being into bhava, the exalted state of love of Godhead. Just like the Lord has a sound, his words, the rustling of his garments when he moves, the sound of his flute, in the same way he has a divine fragrance which comes from his personality. And just like everything which comes from the Lord is totally transcendental and inconceivable for an ordinary soul, also his divine fragrance remains a mystery, but still it can be perceived. The Lord appeared 5,000 years ago in the pastoral ground of Vrindavan Dham. He had only one idea in Vrindavan: to love his devotees and show his love to his devotees. And also his devotees had only one purpose: to love Krishna. But the time came where Krishna was reminded by Narada Muni, "My Lord, you are only engaging in loving pastimes with your many devotees. But what is with your duties as an incarnation, as an avatar? In the Bhagavad Gita you have said that you come to this world in order to spread Dharma and to finish Adharma. But now you are lost in the place of love in Vrindavan. Do you not have any time for the mission of your descent?" And with a heavy heart, Krishna knew it is time for him to leave Vrindavan. He talked to Balaram, his older brother, and said, Bhai, the time has come for me to separate myself from those I love most. But please know, even though I will walk away from Vrindavan, I do this to increase the love of my devotees. Yes, I will leave in one way, but in another way I will appear in their hearts when they remember me and cry for me. This is one of the deeper secrets of Krishna consciousness. Even though the Lord may apparently be separated from his devotees, if his devotees cry for him, if they long for him, if they express their hearts to him, in some mysterious way, the Lord will appear in their hearts and be together with them, not even separated for one moment in time. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world, he came to teach us the secret of vipralamba, that is, meeting and separation, something which is paradoxical to the material mind, but which can be experienced by anyone who chants the holy name and longs for Krishna, yearns for Krishna, is eager. He will meet Krishna in some ways on the spiritual platform. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to stay awake all night chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, his mind overwhelmed with spiritual ecstasy. He felt like Krishna's dearest devotees, the gopis, when they lamented how Krishna apparently had left Vrindavan. In much the same way as his mother cried for him and made a channel of tears which flowed from her house to the river Jamuna, Lord Chaitanya cried for Krishna. In much the same way as the gopis lay in their kunjas remembering Krishna and calling out, Ha Krishna, Ha Prana Vallabhari, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was calling out for Krishna as the only solace for his heart which longed for Krishna. He would cry out, O Krishna!
O Krishna!
Where have you gone?
Where have you gone?
O Govinda!
O Govinda!
O Damodar!
O Damodar!
O Madhava!
O Madhava!
Will you ever show your face to me again?
Would you ever show your face to me again?
Yes. Well, he didn't say it like you, but it was really like... It is said, my dear devotees, that when the gopis called out for Krishna, stones would split in two. It was so intense, more intense than a hammer falling on the surface of stones. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri, I think you know, stayed in a small room which was not more than 2 meters times 2 meters. And then the night, when he felt so eager to meet Krishna, he would sometimes get up and he would say, gone, gone, gone. And in deep separation, he would rub his face against the wall. His two servants, Govinda Das and Swarup Damodar, used to stay before this Gambira room, and they heard inside how the Lord would call, "O Govinda, O Damodar, O Madhava." And then the Lord was silent. They were alarmed. They broke open the door, and they saw the most beautiful, golden complexioned volcano of love. That's how he's called. You know, the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu standing in the room, looking to a distant, distant place. And they looked at the face of the Lord and said, "Why have you injured your face, your mouth, and your nose? Why have you done this?" Lord Chaitanya would explain his heart to them. "I was in such anxiety to find my Lord. I wanted to leave the room, but I could not find the door. All I found was four walls which kept me from meeting my Lord." Swarup Damodar met that same knight where he had seen the face of Gauranga Mahaprabhu after he had been hitting the wall. He had a little conference with Govinda and said, "We can't tolerate this. The Lord, who's more beautiful than the Lord of love, is rubbing his face against the wall. There must be someone with him constantly to take care that in his ecstasy of love he doesn't hurt himself. Let us talk to the noble Shankara Pandit." Shankara Pandit was a scholar, so they talked to him, and Shankara Pandit said, "All right, if you want, I'm going to do this." So in the evening, Shankara Pandit moved into the little room of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord would sit there with his gaze fixed to a distant place, as if seeing Krishna, silently chanting, "O Govinda, O Damodar, O Madhava, where are you?" And Shankara Pandit was like a normal devotee, one of us. He fell asleep. The next moment he woke up and he saw that his body was covered with a blanket of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who had put the blanket around him. Shankara Pandit said, "No, my Lord, don't serve me this blanket. You need to sleep. I'm fine." And he woke up, and he was there and massaged the Lord's lotus feet, hoping that the Lord would fall asleep. Then when the Lord finally fell asleep, Shankara Pandit lay down in the room of the Gambira like this and put the legs over the law of the Lord over his body so that he would notice the moment Gauranga Mahaprabhu would get up, the legs would wake him up, you know. So in this way, Shankara Pandit became known as Prabhu Padopadana, which means the cushion of Prabhu, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like Vidura, who had sometimes laid down and let Krishna's legs be over his body for resting. This was about, this gives you a little bit an idea of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri and how he was Krishna Bivesha. What this term means, actually a better term is prema-vesh. He was absorbed, he had drowned in the ocean of love and he never came out. When I was in Russia a little while ago, maybe 2 years ago, I was on a lake rowing with Viprakrit Prabhu. You know, we were not rowing, we had one of these foolish, ridiculous, or how do you say it, these touristic boats, you know, where you go like bicycling, and we were going over the lake, and we saw a person in the water. We went to some lonely place to bathe, and when we came back, the person had not changed the position. So we went to the man who was renting his boats to us, and he said, look, this person, he's not moving. The man said, yes, he is dead in 3 days. Father, you are not doing anything about it? Well, I don't know him, said the person. I felt, Hare Krishna, let's move out of this lake. And we will tell the police. We don't know him, but Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had entered the lake of love, and he did not come out of it, but he was enlivened with deep ecstatic feelings of Krishna consciousness. Because when you drown in this lake, when you drown in the lake of love, my dear devotees, it's good for you. Then you become a little bit more ecstatic than you are at the present moment. That's a good. In Puri, you must know, when you go, who of you was in Jagannath Puri? I asked you a little yesterday. About half of you, I see. Well, why don't the rest of you also go? Yes. Maybe we should do our next retreat there. This would be better. In Jagannath Puri, it's a town meant only for the pleasure of the Lord. You must know there are beautiful lakes in which every year they have a boat festival, for instance, where all the devotees take a wonderful boat where they put the deity of Govinda and they pull it and they swim and they laugh, and there's a festival. But they also have gardens. One garden is called the Love Garden, Jagannath Vallabha. It's called Jagannath Vallabha Garden. It is a garden which is kept for Lord Jagannath, so that when he wants to go out in the night and smell the nice fragrances of the blooming trees which are kept there for his pleasure, my dear devotees, then he can do so. There is one flower in this garden which I once smelled, and I met this flower again in Haridwar. It's a night blooming jasmine. Who of you have smelled the night blooming jasmine? You have smelled? It only smell opens in the night, but when you go, every other blossom sleeps, but the night blooming jasmine is awake. And when you go there and pass the night blooming jasmine, it is almost like it's like this. You come there. Have you noticed? You go there. And, be careful. Under the night blooming jasmine, there are other people also. They're called cobras. It's such a fragrance that the cobras like to stay there. And they become intoxicated, like maybe an Arab becomes a tab intoxicated by the fragrance of hashish. They stand there, they dance, their cobra dance is very beautiful, but from the distance you should see, not so close. So it was one of those nights. The moon had risen when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to his devotees, "Let us go in the Jagannath Vallabha garden." So the devotees were very enthusiastic. And as they entered the Jagannath Vallabha gardens, they could see that there were not only night-blooming jasmine flowers, but there were other trees which were in full blossom. There were flowers. There was the shuka and sari flowers. Or parrots were awake. And bumblebees were flying through the air because the whole garden was so absolutely aromatic that no one wanted to go asleep, you know. I mean, all humans were asleep, but the parrots were there, the bumblebees. It is said that at that time, as Lord Chaitanya entered, someone else entered the Jagannath Vallabha garden. It was the wind, a small breeze which came and made the flowers shake and carried the fragrance in the whole garden. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that this wind had become the guru of the creepers who were climbing up the trees, so that they began to teach under the instruction of the guru. They began to dance. And as the Purna Chandra rose more and more, the forest became alive. The leaves glittered. Then the Lord asked Swarup Damodar to sing a verse from the Gita Govinda. And Swarup Damodar, who had a voice like butter, very soft, he began to sing, "Lalita Lavanga, Lavanga Lata." And he began to, you know, enact the theme of the song. These were great artists. They were, with their hands, would show the subject of the song. It was a song which described Srimati Radharani yearning for Krishna. And when Radha smelled the fragrance which was carried by the breeze, she was reminded of Krishna. And she thought, it is a time where everyone is together with the beloved, except for me. I'm longing for Krishna. The devotees were absorbing themselves in the sentiments of Radharani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in the forest and he came to an Ashok tree. You need to know something about an Ashok tree. When a beautiful lady touches with her right or left toe the root of an Ashok tree, the Ashok tree starts to blossom. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this Ashok tree, and all of a sudden he saw him. He saw Krishna, who had appeared when his devotees sang the song to him. Lord Chaitanya looked and he started to run like he had often done so. And he tried to embrace Lord Krishna. But Krishna only smiled at him. and then disappeared. However, something didn't disappear. The intoxicating fragrance, the smell of Krishna, lingered on in the forest and was moving back and forth like the waves of an ocean. Now, in Germany, at the Dharma Castle, we had discussed what happens when Krishna appears to a devotee and then disappeared. So we had given an analogy from the ancient scriptures. When Krishna appears to a devotee, it's like a flash in a dark night, which for a moment illuminates everything. Krishna's appearance, in other words, in the life of a devotee, illuminates everything and makes him enlightened. Can you imagine? By seeing Krishna or having the darshan of Krishna, that devotee immediately leaves all his material consciousness aside and is just on the highest levels of God consciousness. He's just full of Sachit Ananda. Huh? But then, listen to this, my dear devotees. When Krishna again disappears from the devotees, it's exactly as if a lightning in a dark night, which illuminated everything and showed the path, is disappearing, and then the night looks even darker than it looked before. So when a devotee who yearns and longs for Krishna has the darshan of Krishna, and then Krishna leaves, the devotee enters into an ocean of something which can only be described as the most turbulent of feelings. And my dear devotees, now don't become afraid, oh my God, this adventure of love is a little bit too much for me. What happens when the devotee who has seen Krishna longs so much to see him again is that this emotion of again longing burns away like a strong fire all the rest remnants of his material contamination. Can you understand? This type of longing or pain, in other words, serves a very noble purpose. It cures the devotees from all the last traces of ignorance. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Krishna disappeared, first he had smiled at him. Can you imagine what happens when Krishna smiles at you? I think we can get an idea that we feel just absolutely taken care of. We feel we have arrived. So Mahaprabhu, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw how Krishna disappeared, he just fell down unconscious. Bang, he was on the floor. But the Lord didn't want to keep him in murcha. Murcha means fainting. The fragrance of the Lord, which moved in the garden, started to enter into the nostrils of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu woke up. Where is he? Again he fainted. And again the fragrance woke him up. Now, if you can just breathe a little, do you smell something? There's some very good fragrance here in the room. Maybe Krishna was hiding behind a pillar and he just disappeared when you were breathing, looking from where this fragrance was coming. But, you know, Krishna's fragrance, how does this smell? This is an incense brand. I think it's Heavenly Delight or whatever the, the brand is called. I have written this down. You must know that there are 8 lotus flowers on Krishna's body. Krishna's eyes, his navel, his face, his 2 hands and 2 feet are exactly smelling like lotus flowers. With a mixture of camphor. The lotus flower itself is a little bit, it's very soft, the fragrance. But camphor is strong, so it's a soft, strong fragrance. Then on Krishna's natural body, he's decorated with Chatusama. What is Chatusama? It's sandalwood pulp, to read it, which is mixed with aguru. Aguru is a wood which has, you kindly help me, it has a little hearts. How do we say hearts?
Resin.
Yeah. So it's sandalwood ground to a pulp with aguru, kumkum, musk, and camphor. And together this fragrance steals the mind of even the God of love. You know, sometimes when we are in airports, we see one of these Croatian Muscatskis, you know. And they make advertisement for some perfume, Lachery. You know, and you go like, oh, you can't cover your bad smell with this, you know. But Krishna naturally smells so wonderful, and then he puts the most amazing fragrances above that natural fragrance, so that he can make the God of love faint when he just hears this, smells this. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, a great saint, who must have smelled the fragrance of the Lord, compares Krishna with a perfume shop. You know, there's the most amazing perfumes which just wander everywhere. The fragrance of it wanders everywhere. He says, the dramatic actor Madan Mohan has opened a shop of fragrances that attract the women of the world to be his customers. He delivers the scents freely, but they make the women all so blind so that they cannot find their path home. This is spiritual talk. It means when someone tastes only a little bit of Krishna, he cannot go back to his ordinary material life because he's just so enchanted and he's captured in so many ways. That's why you find the devotees of Lord Krishna whom you meet and who are real devotees, not beginners. They are happy to be poor. They don't mind to have, because they have everything in Krishna, who is meeting them regularly in the only meeting place for us conditioned souls, that is inside of our own hearts. These devotees have Krishna, and they find no interest any longer in the things and objects of the world. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was fully intoxicated by that scent of fragrance of Krishna and ran around in that huge garden almost like a bumblebee who dances in the breeze trying to find Krishna. There were Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Roy together with him, and they sang songs about Krishna, and all these devotees were just relishing Krishna and Krishna's pastimes the whole night. They stayed up until the morning sun rose. Rupa Goswami describes the mood of such exalted devotees. He says, the activities and symptoms of that exalted personality in whose heart love of Godhead has awakened cannot be understood even by the greatest of scholars. It's not possible. We cannot understand how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dances the whole night, relishing Krishna, and just feeling so absolutely ecstatic, having drowned in an ocean of love. It's very difficult for us to understand. But my dear devotees, just hear this katha. And if you hear this patiently, again and again, one day, these exalted emotions become in your heart. This hearing is therapeutic hearing. Now we may be attracted to things of this world, rumors, politics, Obama, Rolling Stones, extreme sports, what else? Sharks in the Adriatic Sea, and so on. And our taste is a little bit like that. But if we again and again patiently and with affectionate respect listen to the wonderful narrations of Krishna and his devotees, we will actually become cured from our misdirected sense of taste and find Krishna also fascinating. I would love to speak now a little bit about Krishna. I want to ask you a question. Can you imagine what goes on in the mind of Krishna? Everyone thinks of God either by saying he's there or by saying he's not there. Of whom does God think? I was in a yoga studio in New York, and one Robert Swoboda, he is the author of three very, very, very amazing books on Kundalini Yoga. I have not read them. He asked this question. Everyone is thinking of God. About whom does God think? Do you have any idea? I couldn't hear. Radharani. Gopis. His devotees. What? The Braja Bhaktis, Bhaktas, those who love him. All your answers are correct. The one about whom everyone thinks about his devotees. And amongst all these devotees, there's one particular devotee. Her name is Srimati Radharani. Sometimes, when Krishna cannot meet her, he sits on the terrace in Nandagram, an open terrace, and he prays. And finally, the one for whom he has prayed arrives. It's the south breeze, which comes from south, that is from Vasana, where Radha is. And this breeze carries to the Lord the fragrance of Srimati Radharani. With great love, tears trickling down his eyes, Krishna respectfully takes 3 deep inhaling breaths. While in his mind praising the south breeze, saying, "You are my true friend," Srimati Radharani's divine fragrance, which comes from Vasana, smells like an entire flower garden sprinkled with camphor dust. Sometimes, in order to remember Krishna, with whom she cannot be together for various reasons, Radha takes the fragrance of musk. You remember, that's one of the scents of Krishna. And just rubs this fragrance above her, so that at least through the fragrance she can be together with Krishna. Prabodhananda Saraswati has written about this scene of love. He says, "When the aromatic breeze from the edge of Radha's garment touches Krishna, he whom the liberated yogis fail to attain thinks his life has become successful." This is text 2 of Radha Rasa Sudhanidhi. So Krishna sits there with tears in his love, remembering his Radha and associating with Radha through her fragrance. Why can they not meet? Well, they are the elders. The elders who watch over Radha and of Krishna. But sometimes they can also not meet due to inner reasons. The elders are outer reasons. The inner reason is that Radha sometimes comes into a mood which is called loving anger, man. It's a sulking mood. And although her heart say, "I want to meet Krishna," her words say, "I will never see Krishna again." At that time, Radha gives away all her black clothes because they remind her of Krishna. She stops worshipping Shalagram Shila, it's also black, because that reminds her of Krishna. And she asked her sakis to take paint and paint all the black trees white. Serious. When Krishna hears that, he is helpless and he says, but she will be reminded of me when she looks in the blue sky. And the gopi who comes as a messenger from Radha, saying she never wants to see you again, says, no, you don't know my Ishwari. She is very strong. She takes a white umbrella and walks under the white umbrella so that she doesn't see the blue sky and is not reminded of you. She wants nothing to do with you. She will never meet you again. this is my Radharani. She's not dependent on you. So when Krishna cannot meet Radha, he has only one solution. He goes to a place called Gandheshwara Stan. I don't know if you have heard about this place. It's not so far from Nandagram, in the direction of Mathura. There is a lake in this Gandheshwara Stan, and around this lake, the perfume merchants of Braj have put beautiful flower gardens. They take the flowers, and from the flowers they make attar. Attar is perfume, but it's not like our perfume. Our perfume is made on the basis of alcohol. This perfume is made on the basis of sandalwood oil, and it smells around 15 to 20, sometimes 23 times stronger than the perfume which we know. And when you rub it, it stays even after you have taken your bath. It's such good perfume. It's such good perfume that Mother Yashoda, on Krishna's birthday, buys little bottles of this perfume and gives it to all the guests, because it's perfume from Gandheshwara Stan, the place of fragrances, the place of scents. So Krishna, when Radha rejected him, came there with his cowherd boyfriends like Subal and said, "Subal, you have to help me. You have to help me. I have to find a perfume here which breaks, which is so strong that it breaks Radha's loving anger towards me." I'm at the moment so bewildered. I can't choose the right perfume. Could you just give me an idea? And so the two are, "This is the right perfume," says Krishna. Says Shubha, "This will work like a magic potent which will attract Radha to you." I don't know if you know, but on the internet, I don't know if it's on the internet, but I know it's there. There are magic potents. Magische Säfte. Hare Krishna. I heard about it when I was studying magic before I came to Krishna consciousness. You just take a bloop, and then you have the fragrance, and then something magical happens, like a camel all of a sudden appears, or so on. It says there's some of these, you know, that if someone who is not liking you begins to like you when he smells that or she smells this. Don't experiment with these crazy things in the world, you know. So Krishna says, "I must have something magical on this." So he takes the perfume, and he goes to a hidden place. Then with the help of Subal and Sridhar, dresses like a lady. He takes zari. He puts some and he looks very shy. He makes sure that he covers his face. And then he comes with the perfumes he has bought, two or three from Gandheshwara Stan. He said, I want them. And the merchants say, "Oh, Gopal, you seem to... Do you like perfume? It's usually for ladies." Krishna says, "I just need them." And they say, "Oh, Gopal, take whatever you wish. You do not have to give us anything in as a reward. So this way, Krishna comes with a perfume, dressed up like a lady and knocks at the palace of Radha. And the gopis come out. They are highly disturbed because Radha is inside, saying, I never want to see Krishna, and feeling, oh, when will I meet Krishna? So Krishna says with the voice of a female cuckoo, very soft voice, I am the best of perfume merchants, and I have come to present some perfumes to your Ishvari. So the gopis go back to Radha, who sits on a beautiful throne. See, there's a perfume merchant outside who, he sees a lady, she says she comes from Mathura. Would you like to see her? And Radha is immediately enthusiastic because maybe she has perfumes which remind her of Krishna's fragrance. And they bring the perfume merchant before Radha. And the first thing Krishna does is he bows down. And when he comes up just a little bit, he sees the rays which emanate from Radha's toenails. And he is electrified, but he has to keep on his disguise. What do you have? Says Radha. I have the best of fragrances. I have this. This and I have this fragrance, and with this he takes the bottle which Subal had recommended him. Can I apply it to your wrist so that you can test if it's good? And Radha hears this question. She looks a little bit very, very curious. Who is this? Why does she want to apply it to my wrist? Usually this is done by the customer. Whenever Radha is in the presence of Krishna, it's very difficult for Krishna to hide himself. He can hide himself before everyone. He can hide himself before all of us, but he cannot hide before Radha, because love makes it impossible for the other person to hide. You know this, who are fathers and mothers, when your child says, has just stolen some chocolate, and you know, and you ask, have you again eaten too much chocolate? And the child goes, no! And the smell of chocolate comes out. Then you know, we got you. Because of love, they can understand everything about the child. So Radha understands. And she says, yes, you may apply it to my wrist. Krishna applies the perfume to Radha's wrist, and as Radha is touched by Krishna on her wrist, she is electrified with bliss. He asks, what is the price of this perfume? Oh no, it's for free. Oh, it's for free, says Radha. And she winks. Winks means she looks from the corner of the eyes to her gopi friends, then I also want to give you something for free. I want to give you my old cloth. That's not necessary. No, says Rana, and thinks to Lalita, they grab the flower, the perfume merchant. We want to give you the blouse, you know. And we will remove your old blouse. And the merchant, the perfume merchant, said, "It's absolutely not necessary. I'm very comfortable with my present blouse, you know." But the gopis take away the blouse from Krishna, and then two flowers fall from his chest. And they all laugh about him. "Ah, you are there. It is your disguise. You have come to beg for our Ishwari. That is very good. She is the queen of Vrindavan, and everyone should serve her only." And then they all laugh and enjoy their beautiful presence. My dear devotees, I would like to end this katha. There are three levels on which you can understand Radha Krishna Leela. The Adidevic level, the Adibhautik level, and the Adiyatmik level. Adidevic level means you just hear what is going on in the spiritual world between Radha and Krishna. The Adibhautik level is you hear how the saints relate to Radha and Krishna, how others relate. Like you have heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. And the Adi Atmic level is how you relate to what you have heard. We have heard about Govinda's land of fragrances. It's a land where all the bliss of the spiritual world goes on. When Krishna and Balaram return in the evening from the fields of Vrindavan, their cows raise a lot of dust. But Yashoda and Rohini take water mixed with sandalwood and sprinkle it on the dust, so that the dust cannot raise and impair their vision of Krishna, and also that the dust smells. We all want to enter that land of Govinda's loving pastimes. And we can do so by meditating how we can decorate Krishna, how we can serve him. Look at this most beautiful altar. The devotees have thought, how can we please Krishna? Look at the nectar drops which fall from the spiritual world and the touchstones and the ever-increasing numbers of deities. This is in this world. We can practice to serve Krishna like this. Narottam Das Thakur sings, "Aghuru chandana ganda tonha anga dibe." He sings in this mood of adhyatmik. What do I do with this information? He says, "When will I meet the divine couple face to face? When will I fan them with a chamara whisk? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." Yeah? Is it okay? Okay. When will I meet the divine couple face to face? When will I fan them with the chamara whisk? And when will I anoint their divine limbs with a guru scent, sandalwood paste, and other fragrant substances? It is our longing, the longing of our soul, to again join the divine couple in their pastimes as they are loving, happy servants. The practice here in this world to sing for them the kirtan, the glorification. Today we have heard that we need to sing in sambandha, in connection. And we did make a meditation, that we first meditate about who we are as souls, how Radha and Krishna, our unlimited divine masters, and how this world is really only a training camp to connect again with them. So I request you to sing from your heart as a practice in sambandha. Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Very much for participating in this evening's program. We have now completed the second full day, the second full instruction day. We have altogether four instruction days, and then two practice days. One will come in the middle, that is tomorrow, a practice day, and the last practice day will come on Friday. There will be also the celebrated cook of the Govinda's restaurant from Ljubljana, who's already planning something which will make you drown in the ocean of prasadam, preparing. So as far as the instruction days, we are halfway. Tomorrow evening we are fully halfway, but we are halfway. And it is time for me to give you a feedback, something which I have observed during this Japa and Kirtan retreat. It is always different in different locations. Devotees are very different, applying themselves. Like, I remember when we do this in Russia, we have like 600 to 700 people there, and with a Russian temperament, lots of crying. And America goes this way, and here goes that way. And I must say what you do positively first. I see this time, maybe not like the previous times, that you are applying yourself to the task ahead. You're participating fully. That was not so in the very first japa and kirtan retreats, because at that time you were also not noticing that this is different from another program. So congratulations, you're with it. But there's room for improvement. I somehow think that because we have done these regularly, you are already accustomed to more or less what comes, and you may take a little backseat. You're there, you're driving to the retreat, you're parking your car in the hall here, your body car, you're fully there. But you sit on the back seat, not on the front seat. You're not yet, not many of you have gone to that space which few know to inhabit, that space which lies a little bit, you know, behind your own limitations, your own borders. Not many of you have breakthrough experiences up till now, because it's all so, yes, we know, and then this comes, and then the exercise, and then we have to meditate, and then then the Yadran is there, the Adriya is there, and then in the evening we try to listen a little and sing. I think you came to get more, and I think you deserve to get more. So therefore, tomorrow is a chance for you to make a unique breakthrough experience. Therefore, we have designed tomorrow's experience for you in such a way that it is easily possible. We have totally changed the schedule. I mean, we did this already in Germany. Tomorrow, the start is there at 6 o'clock a.m. I would love to invite you to really all be there. 6 o'clock a.m. in the morning. Not difficult. We will start with a very important short lesson which you will not want to miss. It's something you wouldn't like to miss. So kindly be there at 6 o'clock. I know I'm asking you to be there 1 hour earlier, but that's nothing for you. You know, you can easily do it. And then we will chant japa. Listen to this, it's so ecstatic. From 6 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock p.m. That is altogether, please help me, 8 hours. Nectar. 8 hours in your life ready for some serious, is there for some serious spiritual practice. When will this come again? Not at home. It's a possibility which you have to really break through your normal borders and enter that new space where you can actually make spiritual experience. Don't hesitate to go a little further than you usually go, because there you will meet the spiritual experiences. There will be tune-in sessions, that means sessions which help you to stay focused every 2 hours. I will start at 6 o'clock, the thing, and I will end it at the end, at 2 o'clock. And in between there will be Gaurahari teaching, giving some very good skills which will help you to tune in very quickly. Now, we recognize that not all of you may be able to sit for 8 hours. It may be a tall order for some of you. So before you become dry like desert sand, there is, starting at 10 o'clock up till 2 o'clock, that's 4 hours, Ojashvi in the yoga room, that is where the, you know, where the session went on, and where the ladies do their yoga, you know, zup like this. He will do kirtan from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock. Because if you feel that I have chanted now 4 hours japa, No, normally I chant maybe half an hour or 1 hour or 1.5 hours or 2 hours, but I'm not really so concentrated. In between I eat and I look at the emails and so on and so forth. So 4 hours. Ooh. That is like a dwarf who tries to catch the moon. It's really something substantial. If you feel that you would like to sing now the holy name, Ojashvi will be there and will take you on a beautiful kirtan experience. He can sing from morning till evening and through the night. It's not a problem for him. But he might... I do not know how this will be arranged. There's kirtan. Others might also be there and join him and sometimes lead. So, in summary, we start here at 6 o'clock and there will be... there is a program for the 64 rounds day with a smile. It is painted there. we start at 6 o'clock and the official end for the japa session is at 2 o'clock. If you think, I really like to chant so much japa, but I also like to chant so much kirtan. I have a very good, it's not really a surprise. I need to tell you that on Friday, we have the emphasis, how do we say this in Croatian? Yes, on kirtan. We sing 6 hours, no problem. That is in Friday. We sing before the feast starts, but we don't think of the feast while we sing. We sing. So, but tomorrow is emphasis on japa. If it should be that you feel dry, because japa is more difficult than kirtan. I think you have noted. It takes much more effort on the participant, whereas in kirtan you are carried by the group and so on. So if you like, you can also go parallel to that other group, that other room down there. Now, my dear devotees, remember our big theme is to enter into a new field of experience, and I have a practice for you which will make you smile. It's called the noble practice of Monam. What's that? It's to be silent. We don't talk anything tomorrow up till 2 o'clock. But you say, but what is with my breakfast? It is there. From 9 o'clock onwards, there is something like an open buffet. You can just go and the prasadam will be there. If you are just so much in ecstasy at 9 o'clock that you don't want to interrupt, there will be fruits and everything available up to, it will be self-service. Even there you can do Monam. You don't need to communicate. Everything is very clear. You have done this a few billion times to take prasadam. It's very easy. You know, no need to make a complex question and answer session over prasadam. There will be Monam. And I now want to ask something of you, and please give this gift to me. I know some of you are great talkers like me. And it is difficult for you to do Monam. You feel unnatural to not speak because you never do this. But I request you, do Monam. And if it's too difficult for you and you just need to speak about something, you know, then it's possible. But please go somewhere under a nice cedar tree, you know, or kindly do that somewhere else and respect the group energy of following the vow of silence. Kindly respect this and don't go like you know, and doing it. I have seen things in the Balkans which I have not seen anywhere else. Planet Earth. I'm just mentioning it so that it's crystal clear for everyone. You will see, you know, our mind is exposed to so much material sound vibration, no? We hear constantly things and talk. Just imagine there is a day where you don't hear any of this. How you will feel, it will be different. It's psychologically an adventure to feel what is when I, it's almost like not getting air, you know, it's a new, you will somehow get the air out of the stones, you know, when you it's a little it's not so easy to I'm not explaining it nicely. It's your mind doesn't get any material sound vibration any longer. It only gets spiritual sound vibration. See what happens to you. You won't believe it. You might first of all feel a little bit starved, like someone who all of a sudden stops smoking and feels like and someone comes and then someone lights the cigarette over the other side of the lagoon. He goes you know, for 1 kilometer. But after some time he feels just very good, you know. It's very good. So please do this from 6 o'clock up till 2 o'clock. And then the whole afternoon, you can just... Some of you, I think, will love to stay in the space in the afternoon and just go somewhere, be a little alone, read something, pray something. But others might like to meet with their friends, discuss. And the very young beginners amongst might like to just talk about anything, you know, newspaper or anything, just the main thing, talk. It's all right if you are a beginner. It's all right. Please do this practice. And if it's too difficult, I really don't want anyone to do too much tapasya, if that should be. You know, it's possible, of course, to talk, but please respect the non-smoking sign, so to say. you do this, no? I mean, every civilized person, when there's a don't do this sign, then he doesn't do that to not disturb others. Just like even a habitual smoker will not smoke in an area where others do not smoke. So in the same way, when there is the monam there, when there's a monam sign, please don't break the monam by doing it directly there. You can, it is possible to do that. What do you think about this?
Good
idea? Let's try it. We want to, you know, just be adventurous. You know, some new experience. Some new okust, you know, taste is a very, very nice. So I will see you tomorrow. It would be very nice if I can see the whole group at 6 o'clock here in this room. We will do something very small, something I will not say what we do, because it will be something nice and inspiring and empowering, I hope. And then we will chant either from 6 to 2 o'clock with a short break according to your own timings when you take your fruit prasadam or the prasadam which is there. If you wish to join the kirtan at from 4 to no, what was it? 10 to 2 o'clock. It is also very nice. Yeah. And please I very much appreciate there's a smiling face there. It's a beautiful day. It will be the best day. Well, let's see what happens, and then we will see afterwards. Dobro. Now, just I want to see, Bananandini, you have something? Please give some, I think, some technical information.
Just quickly, Maharaj said that, as you can see here on the schedule, every 2 hours we will have tuning sessions for those who like to come. And it doesn't mean that we all have to be here all the time during the 64-hour stay. So you can come at 6 o'clock, you can hear what Maharaj is saying, and then you can either go and chat on the beach, or you can go to the room, you can be alone. And then if you like, you can return for 8 o'clock. And again, you can walk, you can return for 10 o'clock. So you don't have to be all here. One other important thing is that if you go out to chant between 10 and 2 o'clock, please keep in mind to not sit too much in the sun, even though I don't know if tomorrow will be very strong sun, but it's very attractive. But sun takes a lot of energy here on the Andhra if you sit too long, and then you'll feel very exhausted and so on, and take some water with you, of course, and something to color your head and so on, because it's very strong. Even if it's cloudy, you know, the sun rays are very, very strong, and the ozone, you know, is destroyed and so on. So please be careful a little bit. Yes, then, as Maharaj mentioned, we'll have an open buffet for breakfast. There will be fruits available. So if you feel at 9 o'clock, oh, I want to chant now, you don't have to rush out. And then at the end, it's 2 o'clock, we will have prasadam. And between 2 o'clock and 6 o'clock, again, we will have different kirtaniyas who would like to sing. They will be singing in the temple.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So again, you can join, or you don't have to join, however you like. But there will be opportunities for kirtaniyas who would like to sing. And then at 6 o'clock, Vajrashri Prabhu will sing again. Definitely, there will be no yoga class tomorrow. And also, the tune-in session with Gaurahari Prabhu in the afternoon will not take place because we did so much of chanting japa during the day. Yes, that's so much. And then, as you can see on the next to the altar, there is a graffiti. It's showing the retreat journey. It was done by Manupati Prabhu, who is an expert in graffiti drawing. And it's designed in such a way that every day there is a station, and every day there are, like in summary, few points which you heard in lectures or in the workshops. So if you like, you can get reminded what you heard on the first day or today. And for tomorrow, the motto is that we are all trying or aspiring to become disciples of Haridas Thakur. And we will enter his school of chanting and humility. And you can even pray tonight when you go to bed, because it's always good to set up our mind. You can pray to Haridas Thakur for his blessings. You can pray for encouragement, for strength to do this tomorrow. Also tomorrow, during the day, when you're chanting, you can bring prayer books with you. And this is what Sachinanda Swami does, and many other devotees who are chanting throughout the whole day japa. They take always prayer books with them, and then they sing prayers, and then they continue chanting japa in, you know, good consciousness. You can take also your notes from the retreat and so on, and take sufficient water. That will also be very important. So much for now. Okay, and then in the evening we will meet at 7 o'clock again for Lila Katha and celebrate our discoveries with the Holy Name. So, just last thing, it's good if we really approach this day with a happy and relaxed attitude, if you don't think, oh my God, it's 64-ounce day, because it's so wonderful. It's such a beautiful opportunity to meet Krishna tomorrow, actually, to spend time, to go on a long walk with Krishna and be with him, and Mona will help us, and Haridas Thakur can help us, and Maharaj is here with his blessings, and so many devotees, we can really have so much strength. So just be inspired and come, and all the best. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Good night.